a familiar story, but try to take some Bible principles out of it, and let's try to go back to that day and age that we have to be able to really see how. You see, I think once we find out how these Bible characters responded or how they might have felt in their day and age that they live with, the culture and everything, it might help us and realize, folks, they are no worse or better than we are. They're men and women. Sometimes we put them up on this pedestal where we think it's all different. The only difference is if they're living for the Lord and we're not, that's the difference. But they are men, they are women that have choices, that had choices in their life just as we do. And God's given us His Word, and it will change our lives. Godliness will change our lives. So if you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30, and we've already talked about Jacob's troubles in the first part of chapter 30, and we're going to come to a passage of Scripture that we're going to put together, and we're going to cover a lot but fast, because it's a story that we all well know. But we're going to talk about, in verses, in chapter 30, verses 25 through 43, we'll talk about Jacob's prosperity. And then in chapter 31, which is verses 1 through 55, we'll talk about Jacob's pursuit. So as we look at this, we see that in these verses 25 through 43 of Genesis 30, we see it's an unusual story of Jacob acquiring wealth. With this clever man, he outwitted other opponents, and so it seemed. But Jacob's victory, he realized that he owed more to God than he might have realized, that God was the one that provided. And so first of all, as I see in verses 25 through 36, I look at it, and I've divided it this way. Laban's bargaining with Jacob. And then verses 37 through 42, Jacob's blessings from God. Look at Jacob's inquiry in verses 25 and 26 of chapter 30. He says, "And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done for thee." He inquires him. He says, it's now time for Jacob, as God has shown him, it's now time for Jacob to move his large family to his homeland and for him to be on his own. Jacob agreed that God had blessed Laban as he has interaction with him in verses 27 through 34. Because it was time to stop working for Laban and start building his own future and security. Well, we see in verses 27 and 34 then Jacob's interaction with him. For Jacob appealed to Laban for permission to go home, and Laban bargained him to stay, in essence, for another 6 years. But that was all in God's plan for him. And so we see that Jacob proposed a plan by which he would gain little, it seemed like, and he would receive as wages for his work the black and multicolored goats, the speckled and spotted sheep would be born. Now, you've got to realize the dark-colored sheep were an omen for good, is what would have been in the day and age that they lived in. And so Laban thought he was one up, that Jacob, a little bargaining and their little thing, he agreed with him real quick, and then we see that he got out of there. Look what the Scripture says there. "And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eye, tarry, for I have learned my experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Again, does this sound like Laban is just one that is really putting his trust and helping God? It's all about himself, isn't it? I want you to stay because I see I've been blessed because what? You've been blessed. He goes on further and he says, "And he appoint me thy wages and I will give you." Listen, stay here. I'll give you a raise. "And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I've served thee and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own household also?" Listen, I have a household too, Laban. "And he said, What shall I give to thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything if thou wilt do this thing for me. I will gain feed and keep thy flock. I'll pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted amongst the goats, brown amongst and the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day that he goats that were ring-strength and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had come white in it, and all the brown amongst the sheep, and gave them unto the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So he killed work for him, but he had something here. And he went, and Laban said, listen, I can tell that this guy, he's been working for me, but he's not too savvy. I'm going to agree with him and get out of here, because he's given me all the good flock. Little did he know that Jacob continued to grow and grow, and God blessed him. Now we see that his blessings in verses 37 through 43, it says, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar. Now this would have been like the menstruates of what mandrake, excuse me, and of I've lost my train of thought. Rachel, thank you. Rachel was trying to give so that she'd be fertile. And we know, though, even though we seem to do things, we know that birth comes from where? It comes from God. God brings life. And remember that God brings life to animals, too. And so we see this one wonderful truth. And notice it says, and he set the rods which had pilled before the flock. In verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-strength, speckled and spotted. Jacob did separate the lambs and set the face of the flocks toward the ring-straight and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. In other words, they wouldn't breed with each other. He wanted his to be pure. And what happened was he would only breed them with the strong ones. And so he had a strong flock, and it continued to grow and grow, while Laban's didn't grow that way. It goes further, and it says, and it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. Now, we don't know. It sounds like he was superstitious. It doesn't sound like he's putting his really faith in God here. But he does know. But it does say there in verse 43, and the man increased exceedingly, had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, and camels, and asses. And so we see that Jacob might have held to the superstition, but we do know that in the end he realized that it was God that did it, and that Jacob realized that. So during those 6 years, Jacob became a very wealthy man because of his faith and the blessing of the Lord in his life. He was ready to strike out on his own, return home. And so after these 20 years, we see that Jacob increased exceedingly, had much cattle, maidservants, and manservants. God prospered Jacob, and because God chose to bless him, he soon became very wealthy. Now, there's three real quick principles that we can learn in principles to make our way prosperous as learned from this experience. Know this, that do not try to become wealthy at the expense of others. Jacob didn't try to become wealthy at the expense of others. Number two, he just worked hard for employer. We need to work hard, not try to take advantage of someone else. And today we live, isn't that opposite in our today's world philosophy? I want to raise the go up no matter who is in my way. But yet we need to try to become wealthy and be blessed, not at the expense of others. Work hard for our employers, and then just trust God for the prosperity. You know, there's hard times in work. There are hard times, and there are things that don't go your way, but you just trust God. Each one of your occupations, the things you do, it's hard times. Not everything goes your way, but you need to trust God. Know that your prosperity is going to come from God. You work hard and make sure that you're helping others instead of living your life to the expense of others. Well, look with me then in chapter 31, verses 1 through 55. This is a testimony to the blessing of God that Jacob prospered with Laban and that Jacob returned unharmed to his homeland. The proof of divine protection and prosperity should help lead God's people to live by faith. This wonderful example of Jacob, listen, look at Jacob's life and all the things that he was a deceiver. God kept working in his life and allowing things in his life by his choice. He kept growing, and we should realize that it's faith in God that causes this. It's God's prosperity. It's God's protection. It's God's direction. So first of all, look with me, and as I've divided this chapter up in quite a few different titles, subjects, and that is, number one, we see Laban's attitude towards Jacob in verses 1 and 2, and in that you see his demeanor and his discernment. Look what it says. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. His sons were getting a little jealous, weren't they? Wait a second. Jacob's really growing and getting big. In fact, he's bigger than we are now. This was all going to be ours. No, it's Jacob's. Because it's his and his, because they have, Laban purposely says, okay, let's go away. You take care of my flock, but then you divide, and these will be yours, and these will be mine. His stayed, his, Jacob's grew. And all of a sudden, Laban, who was the number one businessman in the area, became second. And his sons didn't like that, and he didn't like that. And so you see that attitude that he changed in a demeanor. And then you see God's admonition to Jacob in verse 3 to go home as he commanded him. But also when he commanded that, that's a comfort. I get to go home. And he says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred. And notice how he comforts him. I'll be with thee. You go home now. This is what I want you to do. I've enabled you. This is where I've wanted you. And this is where I've wanted you for 20 years. But now, these are different things that have happened. Now you can go home. I want you to go home. This is time for you to leave. So I'm commanding you, you need to go home. Here's my direction. And I want you to know, I know there's probably some hesitation, even though you're ready to leave here. You desire to leave here. You've already, because he's already gone and said to Laban in the previous verses, said what? I want to leave. Give me my wife. Give me my goods, and I want to leave. And he now says, okay, now you do. This is 6 years later. Now you do have that permission. It is now time. It wasn't time before, but now it is time. And it's something, if Jacob would have left earlier, he wouldn't be as prosperous, would he? And so we see all the things that he was had in store for him that Jacob didn't see. All Jacob saw was more years of hard labor from a man that was not kind to him, that at that time had changed their countenance towards him and was really deceiving him all the time. And he knew all about deception. And so we see then Jacob's address to his family because he wanted to leave, and God had chosen, was working in his life. And we see in verses 4 through 16, Jacob's address to his family. He wanted to take his family willingly with him, not dragging them. So he had to talk to them. So he brought his wives before him. Look what it says in verse 4. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock and said unto them, as we see now, he requests to meet with them and then gives all the reasons for them to leave. And then we see how they responded. Look what happens. I see your father, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before. I'm in verse 5 of chapter 31. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I've served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my ways 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. What do you see right there already? He's giving God all the credit for everything that's happened. Verse 8, And if he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said this, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God had taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked and speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. Does that sound familiar? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it says, and he said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. You know, that spoke to my heart when I was looking at that and thinking this. No matter what happens, and we say, man, this person's really dogging me. These things are really... And the Lord goes and tells and comforts Jacob by saying, listen, in a dream, he said, I had this dream. I know. I'm not blind. I know. I know all these things that are happening to you. I know. Folks, may I exhort all of us? God knows exactly what's happening. He knows when you're being dogged. He knows when you're being blessed. He knows what's happening. He knows what the evil is out there. But he knows all about it. And he's promised to what? Never leave you or forsake you. Well, we see further on as he goes, look what it he says in verse 13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And look at their response. Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath devoured our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's, now then, whatsoever God has said unto you, do. God has prepared the wives' hearts, didn't he? To do something, to do a work. I can't help to think that truth will come out. Notice these they saw their dad or what he was really for. They saw all of the deceiving that in how he handled Jacob. And God continued to work in their lives to realize, okay, we're yours, Jacob, and we see what you're talking about. And you do that what God tells you to do. That would have been a little faith in their hearts. In fact, this is the only time that I, so far, it seems like, except for his naming, Rachel naming Joseph, I'm going to have another one. The Lord's going to give me another one. This seems like the only other time that I see anything spiritual out of Rachel. Because she says, you do what God wants you to do. That might be a little bit of faith that we see there. And so they go on, and we see then Jacob's activity to return home in verses 17 through 21. And you're given two really interesting ideas about Laban's character and really what Laban taught, two principles that went into the mind of his children. Let's just read verses 17 through 21. We'll go back and look at that. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole. While Laban was out, Rachel stole the images that were her father's. And Jacob... they stole away, they snuck away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount of Gilead, which is about 200 to 300 miles of travel. Well, what do we see here? I think what we see is he was expedient to leave, of course, and there. But I see here that as a reading one commentary, an understanding that notice his kids, his daughters left, and he really learned some they learned things from their father and his deceptions. And what did Laban teach them that he might not have realized that he was teaching them? First of all, he taught them about ruthless expediency. In other words, anything that's according to my account, no matter how it takes, I'm going to get it. And so they took everything and they left. That was theirs and different things. But then Rachel went and took the idols of the house. And so Laban also taught their children religious error. She had seen at home from her childhood days or whatever, the importance, the reverence that Laban had towards those idols. Folks, in many different ways possibly, you know, we're teaching our children, our grandchildren, those that are around us. There's the principle, have you ever heard of this? More is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. What we do, our children are catching it. Those around us are catching it. They really are. We see that in example here. You can't live in a home like that and not, unless it's by the grace of God, change. And you know what? I praise the Lord. Many of you have come from families that are not godly families. But it's God's what? Grace that changes you. And all the things that you might have learned and picked up, even in that your character, there's some that have to go, but some of those might be good traits that you can take and now use for the glory of God. And we see that in these lives of the wives. And then we see in verses 22 through 24, Laban's ambition then to pursue Jacob. He was out 3 days, and then it took him, he took him 7 days, and he finally caught up with him. Look what it says in verses 22 through 24. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream, in 22, and it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled, and he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. What is happening here? 3 days ahead, they caught up with him in 7 days. They were 3 days ahead, but what they're thinking of, that it takes probably about, they could only go with all the flock that Jacob had, probably could only go 20 miles a day with all of that. And so in 7 days, they caught up with him, which would be approximately 200 miles, a little less, or we don't know for sure, but 200 miles that they had already gotten, and they caught up with him. And as they caught up to him, Laban was pretty ticked because, first of all, his security and his riches are all gone now because God was blessing him. And so he was angry that they left, and so he was thinking, wait a second, my security. He wasn't thinking of his daughters or his grandchildren. He was thinking of, wait a second. All this is left. My control is gone. And then also, they stole something that was very dear to me. That's my idols. So he wasn't really happy. He was not a happy camper with Jacob. And he probably, I wouldn't have been a bit surprised, were going to come and possibly overtake him and bring him back or whatever he was going to do. But just as they got close to him the night before, he had a dream. And remember in Bible times, dreams, God purposely used dreams to show his will many times. That's one way they communicated. He does not do that anymore. Don't think, you know, as weird as our dreams are, you get up and start acting one of your dreams, say, that's from God, we're in trouble. I know I'd be flying. and we've got to realize that there is a wonderful truth, revelation that he gave him. He says, listen, don't you say good or bad about Jacob. You just go, and don't you do what you've intended to do. And so he goes on further, and we see then in verses 25 through 30, Laban makes an accusation against him. And he presents himself, first of all, as a hurt father. And then a baffled person, a baffled avenger. Notice what he says there in verses 25 through 30. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, that I might not set away birth with the songs and with timbre and with harp, and you suffered me not to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast done so foolishly." Like he really meant that. And he says, well, can you imagine? Leah, Rachel, their whole life was with their father, knew all about him. And they see his evil, what he's done. They see how he's even treated them. And now he comes and says, "I wanted to have a big party. I wanted to say, God, I want to kiss my grandchildren, my kids." They're back there going, what? "Right, Dad." Yeah. And so then he realized that looked pretty foolish. So then he had to say, well, that's not working. So I think, you also took my idols. Jacob didn't know this. In fact, Jacob put a capital punishment on his wife, Rachel. He didn't know that Rachel had taken it. And he said now to them, listen, he was angry. And he said to them, listen, I can't believe you've done this, said this. You go check anywhere. Well, I haven't taken your idols. Why would I do that? I serve the living God. And so we see Laban's accusation of him there. And then in verses 31 and 32, look at Jacob's answer. And Jacob answered and said unto Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest force my daughters from me. In other words, here's the reason why I left. He answered him. It wasn't because of any of these things. It was because I was fear you're going to take our lives when we told you we were leaving. And he says, as far as the stolen, it says, search us. And anyone you find, you can take their life. And then we see Laban's actions. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, into two maidservants' tents. But he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. Notice it says, and she said unto her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of woman is with me. And he searched, but found not the images. He put it in the saddlebags. And she was sitting on it. And she was unclean. And she was sitting on idols. And Laban said, okay, Rachel, little sweetie. and he goes. And then look at Jacob's anger then. Really, what we see here, I think, is pinned up. Jacob didn't say, remember all the things that Laban did? He never really said much, did he? He just went and did it and realized God has direction in my life, which we would have what? Really laid into him. Now all of this is pinned up. He knows God wants him to go back home. And he's finally at a place away from their land. 7 days' journey, in essence, or 3 days' journey, a head start for him. And then he's going and he's saying, and all of this pent-up anger probably came out, and he told Laban, what in the world are you doing? And look what he says there. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found in all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren, that they may judge between you and me. This 20 years as I've been with thee. He goes and he says, verse 39, that which was torn of beasts, I brought unto thee. I bear the loss of it, but I gave to thee. Of mine hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. I still had to give it. Someone stole it, I had to give it back to you. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes, and went sleepless days and nights. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for my two daughters. You deceived me, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away empty-handed. God has seen mine affliction of the labor of my hands and rebuked thee last night. See, he had told him that God had talked to him. Now leave me alone and let me go home. In essence. And then you see what Laban's appeal to Jacob for a covenant. Jacob realized what was going on and all these things that are true. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters. What he does, he goes and takes all the credit. These are mine. All this is mine. But I'll give them to you. And then he asks for a covenant. He asks a covenant that might be there given for Jacob was burned about it. In fact, he was angry at being furiously chastened by Laban. He was angry about being falsely charged by Laban. He was angry at being foully cheated by Laban. And watching their devious father-in-law, they searched through everything. They realized that they were in God's hands. And so he appeals to them. And they make a covenant that you don't go here, I won't go here, here's the covenant, I won't go this far, you stay here, this is your land, we will not go against each other. And if we submit to God's disciplines and let God guide our decisions, we can endure the difficulties triumphantly that develop in our characters, in our character. Notice that God never failed. As we see, as we claim God's promises in Jacob's life, we can change in today's day and age. But may the God of grace, Peter said, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God never changes. God never fails. And through all of this, I believe we see God's protection, God's provision, and God's direction. God will direct your lives. Every single one of us here tonight, God will direct you. And in that direction, as a child of his, just as he did to Jacob, and Jacob was not a saint. He was a deceiver. And he seemed like he learned slowly. God had to allow a lot of things into his life. But God is always there, and he will direct you. He really will. You just keep praying for those loved ones that aren't saved. It's in God's hands. You live your life and do what that is right. Let God do what God wants to do in your life and in their life. In fact, you can see lessons learned from God's will in this drama. When Jacob had time to leave, notice that Jacob had a desire to leave. You know, when you're searching for God's will, here, one of the truths would be Jacob had a desire to leave, and it was it turned out to be a definite conviction in his heart that God desired him to do a certain thing. There was a conviction in his heart. He desired to do that. God put that desire in his life and heart to do that. Then you see that he looked on his circumstances. Hey, this isn't getting any better here. In fact, I'm seeing these folks, my father-in-law isn't really liking me here. And you and God had promised for me when I was at Bethel that he would have me return. It seems like now is the time. And since God is directing me, has a definite conviction about it. And then God demonstrated through outward circumstances that this would be true. And then Jacob waited until God told him to go back home. He waited for a message from God. He waited for direction from God's word before he would walk. Is there any time that you're wondering and you're seeking God's will? And you think of it, and you have a desire to do this. A desire that would be a godly desire. A desire to be in his will. A desire to do this. And you're looking at all the circumstances around, and it seems like maybe they're pointing to it, and I have a conviction that God might be taking all these circumstances and all these things to be demonstrated outward in life. And you run off, or we And what we need to do is wait till God tells us, now it's time. Now it's time. God might show you in a way that might be a way you don't want. Might force you to do something. But God's message, you've got to realize it's God's message and God's will. Did you know Jacob did the will of God when he knew it? And you know, one of the things we must do his will once we know it. You know, there's many times we'll say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's will is. But yes, we really do know what God's will is. We're just not willing to do it. We do know. You know, there's some things we don't have to pray about. We do know it's God's will. Help me to pray. Help me to tell my loved ones about the Lord. About the Lord. And you know that's God's will for you to do that. What your prayer should be, God, show me the time. Give me the time. Give me the opportunity. Give me the words. Lord, give me an opportunity to even make that, where I might even just say a little bit now. You know, there's many times we do know God's will, but we don't do it. Montgomery Boyce said this, the reason for defeat in so many Christians' lives is not that they do not understand the will of God, but that they do not do what they understand. They don't do what they understand. Many times we do know what God's will is. He's a perfect parent. Did you know that? He's a perfect parent. Telling his children that he loves them. He holds us fast. He directs us. He protects us. He provides for us. He directs that wonderful provision. And he's got his hand about us. And we can know his will. We can live a life and see the examples of this through Jacob and take the truths and live for God through the tasks that come in our everyday lives. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for